This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.
Dynasty Happy Hour presents the Fantasy Tilt Podcast. Tim Torch, and Dynasty Frank.
We are back with the Fantasy Tilt Podcast. And when I say we, I mean most of us are back. My name is Keaton. I'm joined again by Tim Torch. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
Oh, amazing. This crazy weather. I'm not quite as far down south with the crazy hurricane storms and everything like that. But we're getting a little bit of the weather here in Ohio.
Yeah. It's definitely been a scary situation for some of those people, you know, further south. So as some of you may know, Dynasty Frank is still serving his 1 week suspension from last week's defamation of the mighty fine Zach Ertz. So his appeal was denied. So we do have a replacement this week. He is a writer for the Fantasy Footballers and Fantasy Pros. He's also the founder of Dominate Fantasy. We have Nate Hamilton here with us today. How are you doing, Nate?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. Thanks for having us, man. Appreciate it.
Definitely glad to have you on, and thanks for jumping on to fill in for Frank's transgressions.
Yeah, I listened to the pod last week, and I agree with you guys on Ertz, so he deserves the 1 week suspension.
Well, hey, maybe it'll become an indefinite suspension. We'll just keep this going because this is podcast.
Is that a qualifier to be on the pod? I mean, I was a slow transition guy, but I eventually came around. Is that like a thing where you have to be digging the Ertz?
I think officially now, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be. If I'm the one making the rules, the suit makes the rules, and you have to like Zach Ertz to be on my podcast.
I'm with you, man. 100%.
All right. So this is the Fantasy Tilt Podcast after all, and I've been told that I can't hold you guys up anymore, that Tim wants to get tilted up in here.
I do. And I want to do a shout out really quick to everyone in Houston and everyone in Florida right now that's going through all of the craziness that's going on, that their worlds are being uplifted, that they have been or will be going through storms. And on the same note, I want to tell those fantasy players to shut the fuck up. This is ridiculous what's going on right now. There are people out there that are more worried about their fantasy teams week one than they are about people that are going through these crazy hurricanes and tropical storms. You're worried about a team that won't be playing week one, and it's not like they're missing a game. There's still a game that will be played. The game has been moved to week 11. Yes, you don't have Jameis Winston, Mike Evans. I'm sure we're all shedding a tear because we're not playing Jaquizz Rodgers in week one. Sure, you have Jay Ajayi or Devonta Parker, but come on. These people are going through such a hardship right now. Sack up and just deal with it. These are first world problems. You're dealing with a fantasy fucking football team right now. Deal with it and let's move on.
Yeah, that's well said. And especially the moment there for everybody dealing with these hurricanes, not just one, but two. And then there's a third tropical storm on the horizon. I can't imagine. What those people are going through.
If you can donate part of your league winnings for the year, or if you can do anything to help these people out right now, I don't care what it is. Just do something for them. I don't care what it needs to be something.
It doesn't have to be on the JJ Watt level. It just could be, you know, whatever you can do. Like you said, donate half your winnings or all your winnings if you want. You know, oh man, I hate that you let off with that, Tim, because, you know, it's like anything else we say is so minuscule to that. Right. So, wow. I mean,
I'm sorry, yeah, I've been feeling it all day. It hit me at a certain point in the day when I just said to myself, I feel a tilt coming. And then it has been brewing for the last 8 hours.
I don't blame you.
When I texted you guys, I was at half tilt.
Full tilt now.
Wow.
Well, with that being said, I guess the nonsense will start now, and we'll pass it to Nate for his.
Yeah, okay. Well, Thanks, man. Tim, I just want to thank you for letting me follow up with that, because
yeah, no problem,
now
man.
Let's go back, let's downscale. Let's get back to the fantasy football world for a second. Wow. Okay. You know, what I'm tilting on right now is handcuffs. And, you know, why do people feel the need to, yeah, thank you. Why do people feel the need to use a direct handcuff for a player? I mean, for example, if you have Zeke, are you telling me that you want a washed up 30-year-old McFadden who's going in the sixth just a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
I understand now with all the news updates, he's fallen a little bit. But McFadden was going in the sixth, which is where most people were having their drafts. No thanks to that. You know, give me a full-time, more productive running back like a Robert Kelly or Jonathan Stewart that you can get later and add some, you know, actual depth at the position instead of just dropping the handcuff once your guy is back on the field. It's just, that doesn't make sense to me. And another thing, you know, to trail onto this, why do people assume that the direct handcuff is going to replace the production of who is out? That's just ludicrous to me. In the end, for me, it's fine because it works for me in drafts as they, you know, leave those to fall, you know, like the Robert Kellys of the world and Jonathan Stewarts that are going later in drafts to fall to me. But, you know, I just don't get the logic. So, you know, that was my big tilt this week, talking about handcuffs, especially direct handcuffs. So that's what I have to say about my tilt.
Definitely. Well, yeah. And it's one thing if you have a suspension or if you know that somebody's going to be out and it's your flex play or kind of a depth option for you. But the people that are going out there and grabbing like James Conner, like way too early, it's like, you know what? I mean, I get that he could be the guy, but you don't know. I mean, Bell could play 16 and you just wasted that pick on nothing.
And you, here's the thing is you drop him in like the fourth week. You don't wait that long before you're like, I need someone who's actually gonna be a productive bench player for me where I can swap in for my guys in the bye weeks. It's like people just they rely so heavily on the direct handcuff. To me, there are plenty of late options where you can get in. For me, I'm a zero wide receiver guy, so for me to say that about running backs, it should tell you that there are plenty of late running back options that are full-time options that you can grab versus a Darren McFadden who's going to last you just the 6 weeks that Zeke is out. Like, grab somebody who's going to actually be effective the entire year and who can add depth to your position. So that's my tilt. I got to stop because definitely, I'll keep going.
I couldn't agree with you more there. So that's good. So my tilt is more – this is on a personal level. I know this is back-to-back weeks of me doing this sort of more on a personal scale, but the reason I like the NFL and football, right, is it has its flaws. The NFL is just awful, the worst sport there is, except for every other sport and how they run all these other garbage round ball sports, okay? So the people over at Basket Hoops, you know, that do that thing over there, their association or whatever they call it, they have these teams that always tank, or they have these three team trades that go down, or they have these salary dumps where the Lakers or the Celtics or somebody decides, you know what, we paid this player, we don't really want him anymore, we're going to ship him off to like this, you know, let's send him to Sacramento, for example, or somebody else who just wants, going to pay the bill for us because we don't want to deal with it anymore, and we're like the premier franchise, so we don't have to deal with this crap, right? Well, the NFL is very slowly becoming one of these garbage leagues and associations that allows this sort of nonsense. And it's just come up this offseason that I've noticed this. The Brock Osweiler trade was funny when it happened, but it's just a salary dump. And then you have these three team trades that are coming up, and it's just, you have these teams that are obviously trying to tank. And I don't want to see the NFL, and it's not there yet, obviously. This is not the same realm as the round ball sports I was talking about, where you have bottom feeders and top teams, and that's it. The NFL has always been a league that has parity, the way the schedules are set up, the way the conferences are aligned. It promotes itself to that sort of thing. But when you start having teams that are just trying to lose on purpose, and then they're going to get their number one draft pick, and then they bust again or something like that, it's just, you don't have the situation where that number one pick is LeBron James. It doesn't work like that in the NFL. So if you're tanking and giving away players in these three-team trades or dumping salaries and doing all this stuff, there's no one player that's going to save you out there. And I hope that these GMs know what they're doing and turn these franchises around, because I don't want to see these garbage teams just be bad forever. I want to see a league that's healthy and has turnover and parity. So
I hear you 100%, because it's just the last thing I want is for NFL teams to start tanking on purpose, because what that tells me is that they've royally screwed up in their previous draft. You know, obviously various injuries happen, but you don't want people tanking for that lottery pick. You know, it's just, oh man, we can't win this game. We're down by three. Look, you got to miss this field goal. Like, this is going to just completely lose the integrity of your game. We love fantasy football for a reason, because we love the NFL. Like, let's just not forget about that for a second. If we didn't love the NFL, we wouldn't be into fantasy football. So, you know, and a lot of times when we write articles and we put up stats, we're putting up legitimate NFL stats. It's not all having to do with fantasy football. So yeah, I would be with you, man, 100%. If teams started tanking on purpose, we would have to completely adjust to that. And it would be sad to see. I'm with you.
Right. Okay. So with that, we'll get into the news. We'll start being reasonable again. We kind of started talking about the hurricane, so I'll go ahead and get into that now. So if you haven't heard, and it's been all over the place, so maybe you've heard this already, but Hurricane Irma is going to be affecting the Florida area such that the Miami-Tampa game that was supposed to be played in Miami this weekend is no longer going to be played this weekend. The week one game has been rescheduled for week 11. The Bucks and the Dolphins actually share a bye in week 11, so it was sort of convenient in that aspect to move the game. But what that does is it means that you have a week one bye that many owners were not planning on. So I just want to make that clear to everybody. If you have Jameis Winston, if you have Jay Ajayi, if you have Mike Evans, you need to make other plans. You need to do them quickly. Games start tomorrow, and you need to get on those waiver wires or free agency or whatever your league has set up and make those changes accordingly, because you will be stuck otherwise. But there is an interesting note that I wanted to add here. The last time this happened was in 2008. Hurricane Ike rescheduled the week two Ravens-Texans game to week 10, when both teams had a bye the same week. So I just think it's funny that this is happening, and it's the same sort of instance. I don't know how the odds work out that these teams have the same bye and play each other early enough in the season where it's before the bye and are hit with these hurricanes. But also in 2008, it was Hurricane Ike, and this is Hurricane Irma. If you don't know how they name these tropical storms, that means that each of these storms was the ninth tropical storm of the season to move these games. I just thought it was an interesting set of facts.
They both start with the letter I, for sure. And I was talking about Keaton. I was talking about you with you about this the first, before we started the podcast. And everyone's calling it Irma, but you know, if you look up how it's pronounced, it's comical. So I would suggest everyone Google how to pronounce Irma, and it just, you know, for 3.5 minutes, it's a video replaying back to me. Irma. That's
I apologize for being a gringo out here in California, but I can't pronounce it any better than Irma.
You need to say Irma if you want to be correct about this. So it's Irma.
So is there any other big takeaways you guys have as far as advice for people, or, you know, just takes on the hurricane in general that we want to get to before we move on in the news?
Sure. I mean, I can jump in real quick. So obviously this is week one and everyone thinks they have their lineup set, and, you know, so I don't know how many leagues everyone's in. So just take a look at all your lineups, take a look at your waiver wire, make sure that none of your guys are, you know, on the Buccaneers or the Dolphins. It's quite obvious. The good news is they play 16 straight weeks after that. So, you know, it's a 1 week rental that you're looking for. Also, a big takeaway from this is Doug Martin. Everyone's expecting him back week four. This obviously pushes him back to week five because he's serving 3 weeks. So if they have week one missing, then 3 more weeks that bleeds into week four. He's not back to week five. So for, you know, you just got to think of it as a week one bye, which is how it's laid out. You know, it's a tough way to start week one, but, you know, typically you would make some in-season moves to remedy bye weeks. But week one, you may have to stream, which is appropriate for this episode because I know we're talking streamers week one. So, you know, I won't lead into that yet because I know we still got some news to talk about.
We will definitely get there. We have some streamers that we'll give you guys later in the episode, but right now we'll finish up with the news. Tim, do you have anything else on the hurricane before we move on?
Wait, could you tell me again when week five comes? Is it after four or before six?
One of those two, I'm not sure, but one of those two, I know.
Yeah, you guys nailed it on the head. You want to make sure to just look closely because everyone is in a different number of leagues, and especially if you're in a large number. I did the count the other day per request of my wife, and I was at 23. So,
wow, you told her you're in 23, so you must actually be in like 47.
I didn't count best ball. I didn't count best ball leagues. So
I'm in 11, Tim. You're putting me to shame, buddy. I'm in 11. I'm not doing any best ball this year because it's so obnoxious. I'm hearing people that are in 50 plus leagues, and it's just like no part of that. So you can all have it. That's fine.
I had a friend that actually bankrolled me this year, and he said, "I'm going to give you $100, and I want you to enter whatever best ball leagues you want to enter, and then whatever mm-hmm. you make off of it, we'll split 50-50.
There you go, man. That's wow, great.
Yeah, that's a good setup.
So I was in.
Definitely. All right, so we'll move on with the news here. We have Ezekiel Elliott's suspension has been upheld to 6 games. What that means is he will be serving the 6 games as it stands now. He has been cleared to play week one. So his suspension then is going to run from weeks 2 to 7, and he would be back week 8, if I'm counting correctly, because he does have a bye in there.
It might be week 9. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, you got to count that out. I was told there would be no math on this podcast. So yeah. I apologize if I butchered that already.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
So he's going to serve the 6 games starting week 2, and that does not count his bye. So do your own math, people. You have calculators on your phones.
No, you're right.
So the part that I do want to get into here is as far as there's a lot of rumors going around about him being able to push the suspension off or what happens there. There is a process where he can file a restraining order against the league with the courts. And what he would have to show for that is that he will suffer irreparable harm if the suspension is upheld now instead of being pushed off until a further appeal can be heard. The NFL, however, from what I've read, has taken that fight to Elliott. The NFL has filed a suit in New York to affirm the arbitrator's ruling in the case to uphold the 6 games. The reason the league has done that is because the NFL or the judge in the New York circuit that they're going to has been friendly to the league in the past. So they kind of went and picked their spot to challenge him there so that he doesn't bring it up in a Texas court or an Ohio court or somewhere else to have that heard. So as of right now, the restraining order appears to be a long shot. He has to meet a pretty high standard of proof. And he also has to do it on what's going to be the NFL's home turf in a court in New York. So if you think that Elliott may have this chance, I would put that to the back of your mind. And if it happens, great, you've won the lottery. But I would plan on him serving the 6 games starting in week 2. Tim, what's your take on Elliott, and what should owners do now? I mean, they're probably stuck with him though, right?
Yeah. If you got him, smoke him this week. So if you're with him through the draft, then obviously you're playing him this week. It's so tricky because looking at him right now, the week one you're going to have is, especially if you were able to get him in that round 2-3 range, which I was in a couple of leagues. I got him in the 3rd round, which worked out extremely well. I started one league off David Johnson, Amari Cooper, and then came back with Zeke Elliott. So if I make it to the playoffs, that team will be a force to deal with. At this point, you just have to ride it out. I think there may be a few people that are souring on Darren McFadden from the lackluster preseason, but as we've heard the coaching staff talk about all offseason, we're going to see a more involved running back in the passing game. So they want to have Dak Prescott take that next step in the offense and be able to start checking it down to the running back. And hopefully Des Bryant is a little bit better this year and can stay healthy the full season so that it takes a little bit of pressure off of those running backs. Lastly, and this has been hit to death, so I'm not going to go on too big of a tangent. The Cowboys are in more, they have a tougher schedule this year. It's their strengths of schedule is much harder than it was last year, and they're going to be put in positions where they will not be leading the entire time. So you have to think that if you have McFadden, he's going to at least get the PPR juice for those 6 weeks, however you want to count them out on your fingers and toes. by my guess, it looked right when you count 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bye week, and then he comes back. That's week 9.
Okay.
So he's coming back week 9. Hold tight, folks. Who knows what's going to happen with this?
Oh, man, you're putting me on tilt again.
I know. It just happens that way.
All right, yeah. So,
and then
so,
you're going to be at the fantasy playoffs.
I mean, heads up, everybody. I'm a Cowboys fan, so I just wanted to throw that out there. And I'm going to get a bunch of hate now on that. But, okay, so Darren McFadden is not the answer here, okay? I understand the great offensive line. I get that. Okay, but Dak Prescott has already come out and said, hey, if Zeke misses some time, I'm going to step up. I'm going to rush the ball. If I need to, I'm going to find the open space. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to rush a little bit more. So, I don't know, man. I don't think McFadden's the answer here. I own Zeke in 4 of my leagues, and I'm not going to tell you how many leagues I'm in, but I own Zeke in 4 of them. And yeah, I'm playing him week 1. Obviously, that's a big reminder. I tweeted out earlier, look, if you got him, I know you've already been accustomed to putting him on the bench, but he's playing week 1, so you better make sure he's in your lineup week 1. However, I'm not so confident about the 6 weeks after that. But when you draft Zeke, luckily this year, these things happen early enough where you can plan ahead. So if you know you're taking Zeke,
amen,
at, you know, the second round, early second round, mid second round, man, don't spend the draft capital on just a direct handcuff. And I hate to repeat myself, because I know we talked about this in the opener, but you know, wait for rounds later, like Robert Kelly. He's an everyday starter. Okay. You know, he beat out Matt Jones, who's Mr. Irrelevant now. He's up with the Colts.
We'll get to him in a moment. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So he is the everyday starter. Perrine, everybody's so quick to jump ahead and just deem these rookies ahead of everybody. And you got to stop doing that, because there are plenty of running backs later. And again, it's coming from a wide receiver, zero wide receiver guy. And, you know, if you follow me on Twitter at all, I promote that wholeheartedly. I wait on wide receivers. But in this case, if you draft Zeke, you can wait on a Robert Kelly. You can wait on a Jonathan Stewart to have a full-time starting running back on your bench when he returns is by far the best decision than just getting the direct handcuff who is not as talented by any means and having him and then just dumping him when Zeke gets back. So for me, you know, that's where I stand on the whole Zeke thing. If you're going to draft Zeke, draft somebody who can be a season-long benefit to you. Worst case scenario, you know, you never know what can happen with these things. So don't draft direct handcuffs to people.
That's a good point there, because I refer to it as the expiration date. If I'm going to draft a running back, I don't want a running back who's going to expire week 6 or week 3, whatever that is. You want a guy that provides you that long-term value, who has trade potential for you, can fill in on bye weeks. You definitely want the longer approach there. So I definitely agree with that. So the benefits of us recording this podcast on Wednesday, and it's the first Wednesday of the NFL regular season, is we do have practice reports from today. So I'm going to go through real quick and kind of go through some of the injuries that I thought were noteworthy. If we, you know, I'll just run through them real quick, and then we can kind of go back and address them if there's any that stand out to you guys as potentially important. As far as the people who are healthy, which I think is also a story here, Leonard Fournette was not listed on the injury report today, nor was Eric Ebron. The Seahawks were all full participants today. That's Tyler Lockett, Thomas Rawls, Eddie Lacy, and CJ Procise were all listed as full participants in practice. Jordan Matthews was a sort of a surprise full participant with his sternum bone chip that he had going on. So he looks like he'll be good to go in week one. Potentially a little bit more concerning would be Demaryius Thomas was back at practice today for the first time in a few weeks. He'd been out since that week three preseason game. But as far as the Broncos, they don't play till Monday night. So we don't have an actual injury report from the Broncos until tomorrow, which would be Thursday. So maybe when you're hearing this, you can get online and get more information than what we have for you now. But you'll want to check in on Demaryius Thomas and make sure that he is still improving. He doesn't have any setbacks later on in the week. And then the big cause for concern, at least for me, is Odell Beckham is still not practicing from that high ankle sprain that he, or I guess the lower ankle sprain, or, you know, the foot injury that he sustained instead of the knee. So it was good news initially, but it sounds like he is actually at risk of missing week one here. They're saying that he is more hopeful than confident that he'll play in week one. So are there any of these that you guys stand out or want to touch on a little more? Nate, what do you think?
Let's go to Jonathan Williams, who was cut below. Sure. My thought going into the season, because I'm very high on Shady McCoy, and I think he's by far the number three running back, especially with Zeke dealing with his possible six game, whatever reduction, whatever it ends up coming to, it's still going to lead to some games missed, I would assume. Jonathan Williams could have been the Gillisley of this season, where he vultured many touchdowns from McCoy. But now with him cut, it was probably the biggest surprise cut, I would say. Over the past week, it looks like Mike Tolbert is going to get some short yardage, possible goal line work. For me, honestly, this move just cements LeSean McCoy's usage in the season, and it just reaffirms my position on McCoy in 2017. So that's my take on the Jonathan Williams situation.
Tim, what do you have on some of these injuries?
That's a good one. I'll start at the top with Leonard Fournette, and I'm glad to see he's coming back. And this offense has to look better than it has during the preseason. We kept hearing that they want to protect Blake Bortles. They want to hide him. Their perfect amount of attempts for Blake Bortles to actually throw the ball is zero, because they want to run every play. I'm excited to see Leonard Fournette. He didn't show a ton in preseason, which I am super concerned about, especially for a rookie. But he's the type of guy that if you are going to take that blind shot, he's the type of guy you want to take a shot on, because yes, he may not be he may not have the best offensive line in the world, but he was a top pick. He's definitely has the adequate enough size to be to have that high volume during a season. And people want to put him on blast for being a terrible pass catcher. How terrible is he? He did have positive marks there when he was at LSU. He was a guy that was involved. Darius Geis was there. Darius Geis is a hell of a football player. And if you're going to say he's more explosive than Fournette, sure, when you weigh 40 pounds less than a guy, you're going to look more explosive. And please, I have a ton of respect for Darius Geis. But back to Leonard Fournette, he is a hell of a football player. He was taken at the top of the draft. The volume should be there for him. So I'm excited to see him come back to practice. Odell Beckham Jr., I am so worried about him. My SFB lineup is going to be on tilt if he doesn't get to be in.
I'm right there with you on that one.
I was able to start Melvin Gordon and then Odell Beckham Jr. in the second. And if I don't have him, I'm pretty worried, because I went wide receiver light with the exception of Beckham. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a popular strategy, and I definitely adopted that one too. But mine's a little bit worse, because I went Elliott and then Beckham. So my SFB season is over. It's over. I'm waving the white flag right now. You can see the flag behind me.
Well, you know what?
White flag.
Well, I'm a guy that's
I'm gonna be positive here, Keaton, because you know Elliott is playing week one. We don't know about OBJ, but I'll tell you what, you have at least one of those guys, so they could balance each other out. You never know.
Right.
Like, well, you're talking to a guy who has finished in the top four of the SFB. Now, that was the SFB 480. Last year, I still won my division. I still won my division last year. So we'll see what this year has in store.
Very good for you, Tim. That's great.
So a couple other notes that we didn't quite get to in that first rundown. Matt Jones of the Washington Redskins was also cut. He had been requesting his release or a trade basically all summer, and the Redskins were just holding him down. It seems like weren't going to do him any favors. So he was cut alongside Jonathan Williams. So that surprisingly, though, Matt Jones was picked up. He was claimed off of waivers by the Colts. Does give them some depth and another big body behind Gore, because they were probably going to be relying on Turbin, who isn't all that exciting, and then Marlon Mack, who's not exactly the pound him up the middle type back. I think that Matt Jones, if something happens, could be interesting, but I don't think he has any value right now. You'd have to wait until there was an injury to Gore, or he retires or dies on the field or something like that happens.
I'm with you, Keaton. The notes I have on Matt Jones is, you know, for me, there was no surprise that he was cut, because, you know, somebody who I'm actually promoting, it seems like the world is against, Robert Kelly, job over him. So if that gives you any idea how you feel on Robert Kelly, which, again, the majority are very down on him, if he was enough to win the starting role, you know, continue the starting role over Matt Jones, and enough for Matt Jones to be cut, that should tell you something about Matt Jones. For me, Matt Jones going to the Colts doesn't really do anything relevance wise to him in fantasy. I just feel like the Colts are just scooping up whoever they can at this point. They're kind of panicking without Andrew Luck there, and they know they have an older running back in Frank Gore. So I think they were just looking for depth there. So again, Matt Jones, for me, I would stay away from him 100%.
Okay. So another quick note I have is that Josh Lambeau, the kicker for the Chargers, has been cut in favor of Young Ho Koo. I believe that's pronounced Koo.
I believe so, yes.
We figured out.
Yes.
So just, you know, people tend to draft kickers and then forget about them, which is what you should do most of the time. But just check and make sure that you didn't randomly select Lambeau and expect him to play week one, because he is no longer did I say San Diego? Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, no, hey, that's gonna happen all season, bud. Don't worry about it.
Definitely is. Well, I'm a fan too. I've got my Chargers jersey right over here too. So I
know you are.
Feel the pain. So the one last thing I wanted to get to is Andy Reid was questioned about Kareem Hunt, and the quote is that Kareem Hunt is going to be the regular featured back versus New England. So as they say at the Fantasy Authority, wheels up on Kareem Hunt. If you've got him, just roll him out there and you're going to be ready to go. Even though it is New England, I still think that a feature role in Andy Reid's offense is too good to pass up. And it sounds like he is going to be the guy there. So if we don't have any other notes, news or notes, we can move on. I'll do a quick commercial break here, and then we'll move on to the streamers for the week.
Sounds good.
All right, so let's do that. I want to thank our sponsors for the show. That is the Sit or Start app. If you guys don't have this app on your phone, stop what you're doing right now. Go ahead and pause the podcast. Go get this app, or you can even have it playing in the background, whatever. But you got to get this. You can get the side-by-side player comparison. So this week, when you're trying to figure out how to replace those Buccaneers on your roster, you can put two of your guys in there from your bench and compare them. The app will give you a leaning one way or the other on the tail of the tape there. You can also set it up and give you notifications. So if there's any news, there's a weather delay or something like that on a game, or a player gets injured in pregame, something, you know, your app will tell you that stuff's coming. You got to get the Sit or Start app. When you do sign up, make sure you use our referral code TILT. Like we said before, you'll get double entries in that raffle for the NFL tickets this season when the app reaches 10,000 users. So make sure you use that code TILT. And you'll get those double entries. So thanks for sponsoring the show. Now, moving on to our streamers. Now, this is a little bit unorthodox to be streaming week one. I know Tim and I had this conversation over the past week or so. So, Tim, I'll let you go first and kind of tell me your feelings on how people should be thinking about streaming in week one.
Yeah, there are a few spots that I just believe should be streamed. Any of those onesie positions. And I call them onesies, obviously, because you can only start one of those spots. So quarterback, unless you're in a super flex 2QB league, tight end, that should be another one, and your defense. Those are three positions that I'm taking later in my draft. So I'm usually not the guy that's going to get Gronkowski in the second round. So this week we should obviously be looking at some of the key streamers. And just because you took a guy in your draft at a reasonable position doesn't mean he has to be cemented in that week one lineup. There's a reason you take some of these flyer guys, but if you can turn them off of your roster, don't be afraid to do that. There are a couple great guys that you can really go into this week that I think are perfect for us to really stream and to optimize our rosters. Don't think you have to lock yourself into having the top defense, the top tight end, the top quarterback. There are plenty of streaming options that we should definitely be looking at.
You know, and you started to convince me a little bit more as you're talking there, just the idea of being flexible and not being so stuck on, if you've made a mistake in your draft, you know, continuing with it. The thing that I want to caution people, and it's more of like the psychological side of this, the side that you have to live with yourself. So don't do anything crazy where if you drafted Aaron Rodgers and didn't realize he plays Seattle week one, you can't bail now. That's something you should have thought about at your draft. So you need to, so in my opinion, at least for week one, I'm willing to go down on the ship that I made. You know, you put up the sails, you were headed in this direction, you got to see it through. But you did start to sway me a little bit more as you were talking of, you know, especially when you get to like, if your tight end has a rough matchup or something, or your defense, you didn't realize plays, for example, the Seahawks are playing the Packers, you know, if there is an option out there, and we'll get to some of the options that you can look at, I would at least consider it. But make sure that you're not just rolling over on studs week one, because these are known commodities. There's a reason that you took them where you did in your draft. And I just want people to not forget their thought process at the draft and what made them draft those players in that spot. So now we kind of gone over that. We had some of this discussion before we had the hurricane come up. So some people, whether it's in your strategy or not to stream week one, if you have somebody like Jameis Winston on your team or Cameron Brate on your team, for example, or Julius Thomas, you may be in a spot where you are now forced to stream those positions, whether or not it was in your strategy or if you wanted to stick with your guys, you don't have that option anymore. So we'll go through some of our guys here that we have that may be available to you either on your bench or on the waivers that you can pick up and plug in week one, assuming your league allows transactions of that sort. So we'll start with quarterbacks. And I know, Nate, you've got one for us.
For sure. Absolutely. You know, I want to second everything that you said, because I think you and I share the same points on week one streamers, which sounds pretty ridiculous. But, you know, when you bring up the hurricane, that kind of changes things. For me, my week one streamer at the quarterback position, if you are looking, if you drafted, you know, Winston or Jay Cutty,
or Tannehill, geez.
I think, oh my God, Tannehill, let's let's pretend that never happened. For me, Sam Bradford, you know, he's week one, typically isn't the time to panic. And if you are, then you've done something horribly wrong in your draft. I just got to get that out of the way. Just because that's how I feel about it. However, Sam Bradford, you know, he's got a healthy Stephon Diggs this year, an emerging Adam Thielen, and, you know, Kyle Rudolph, who he leans on tight ends quite often. He's got a year under his belt with the offense, because last year he was thrown in literally just before the season started. So he's got a whole year to learn the system and not wing it. I think Sam Bradford, honestly, he's a sleeper pick for me as far as production goes. He could leak into the top 12 quarterbacks. But for me, week one against the Saints, who typically when you go up against the Saints, it's going to be a high-scoring game because they feel their offense is going to outdo you. So don't put much focus on their defense. So I think for me, Sam Bradford, week one streamer, quarterback.
Yeah, and he's definitely on the board. He should be available to you. My notes here show on Yahoo, last time I checked, he was only owned in 21% of leagues. So if you're really in that tight pinch where you only drafted one quarterback and it was Winston, You know, looks like Bradford's going to be available for you, and he does play indoors. may be a concern this week. So that's always a good thing to have that guy in a dome. That should help there. Tim, did you have a quarterback besides Bradford?
Bradford's a really good one. The second one I will give you is Carson Palmer. He is a little bit more owned, but still on Yahoo leagues, if we're looking that direction. He's only 65% owned, so there's still a third of the leagues he's sitting out there. And I love not just his week one matchup, but I like him for the first 4 weeks or maybe even 5 weeks of the season, depending on how that revamped Philly defense is working out. He gets at Detroit, so he's indoors. At Indy, he's indoors once again. He's in Dallas, which should be good weather, in San Francisco, which is a rebuilding team. I absolutely love that slate of games. And he does have Larry Fitzgerald, the GOAT, David Johnson, the literal GOAT. Yes, we are talking about the one running back that may exceed Tom Brady as GOAT status. Well, maybe Le'Veon Bell, but I prefer David Johnson personally. so he has his weapons back. John Brown may be coming back. J.J. Nelson. I see a positive, whatever you want to say, positive regression, a progression, whichever term that isn't going to get me yelled at by people on Twitter.
Oh, they'll yell anyway.
Yeah. Progression, was, you know. It's those, not a double, you know, negative.
Professional words that people are supposed to use, which I don't. but Carson Palmer, I think, is a great streaming option, and he's good for minimum the first 4 weeks of the season.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll throw out one more just real quick. If you're in a deeper league or anything, Brian Hoyer is available in basically every league. He's only owned in 13%. Playing against Carolina is not necessarily ideal, but if you can beat that team, it's going to be through the air. And I just think that, you know, if you're really desperate, we've seen Hoyer impressed before with in less than ideal circumstances. So if you're really desperate and you need a guy, Hoyer's going to be better than nothing. So, you know, if you just need a deep guy, you can go with him there. Moving on to running backs, I'm going to get started on this one. If you're short, you know, Ajayi, or you're going to be counting on a guy like Jacquizz Rodgers in the first week, first of all, I'm sorry, your roster's terrible. But if you're in that case where you're counting on Rodgers, I do want to say you may have a situation where you grab Jonathan Stewart late, and I think that Jonathan Stewart is in a prime spot against San Francisco. I mean, Tim mentioned it. This is a rebuilding team, and I know that Carolina has to go all the way out west to play that game, but, you know, if you're in any doubt and they want to protect Cam Newton, they're going to give the ball to Jonathan Stewart. I'm not worried about McCaffrey just yet. I think that that Jonathan Stewart does have the yardage bonus there for you. And definitely the potential for touchdowns, especially if they're serious about protecting their franchise and Cam Newton. So if you have Jonathan Stewart, don't be afraid to slide him in there to fill in for your Ajayi or Rodgers shares. So any other running backs you guys got?
I think running back, to be completely honest for me, and it sounds like Nate's in agreement, running back is not something you're probably going to be streaming week one. For me, that's a position you're probably going to have to feel out a little bit more through the season. If you're more looking for maybe preemptive pickup guys that you should be looking at now to maybe pick up before the waiver wire hits, Tariq Cohen could be a really nice guy that I think is going to take a lot more of that work than people thought. And we saw him 2 years ago, Buck Allen. In my dynasty leagues, I have that dude stashed everywhere. In redraft, I think he's what we call over at UTH a two-way handcuff. So if Terrence West goes down, he's going to get that between the tackles grinder work. If Danny Woodhead goes down, we've seen him flourish in a pass catching role. So I absolutely love having Buck Allen stashed on my rosters.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. So Nate, are you pretty much in agreement with that, or do you want to throw out another name for running backs?
Oh man, no, you stole my Jonathan Stewart take. You know, I mean, as you heard in the with handcuffs, I suggested Stewart as one of those handcuffs to whoever it is, Doug Martin, Zeke, anybody else who's dealing with suspensions or going to miss a first couple weeks. I think Stewart, man, he is still the number one running back in a pretty high potent offense. Yes, Christian McCaffrey is gaining some momentum with the pass catching downs, but Jonathan Stewart to me is still and he's still listed as the number one running back on the Panthers. So for me, that is one of my late round guys that I would put on my bench. But if you have somebody like a Zach, you know, Zeke Elliott, or you know, Doug Martin, you want to put him in for those first few weeks, and I think he's gonna fill in great, and he could be a season long asset to your fantasy teams on the bench, as opposed to drafting someone like a Jacquizz Rodgers who's gonna last you 3 weeks and then you dump them. So you want to get those guys now while you can.
Sure. So I assume that you guys have the same opinion on wide receivers then. You know, if you don't have an option on your bench that you can just slide up and into those spots, you're probably in a lot of trouble. Just in case, for those people that are in a really bad spot, if you've got a couple guys from each team, if you had Evans and Parker or something crazy, for example, if Kendall Wright is on your waivers, he's a guy in a PPR league that could get you out of a tight spot. They do play Atlanta. Which isn't, you know, a super stout defense or anything. And I don't know what else Chicago's going to do if they drop back to pass the ball. If there's going to be a guy out there that'll be a security blanket, it could be Kendall Wright. So if you're in absolute desperation mode, that may be a guy you want to go with there. So if we're going to kind of repeat some of our rhetoric on receivers, we can move on to tight ends, unless there's a name you guys want to throw out there.
Only other guy I will mention, and it's just because for whatever reason, and this is throwing the Hail Mary. This is it. You're screwed, and this is just a hopeful play. And it's Jeremy Curley. The only reason I say that is because the Jets are a shit show right now. There's no other way to put it. Sorry, not sorry for cursing. and they're going against Buffalo this week. Buffalo is, again, a trash situation in terms of guys that they've gotten rid of in their secondary, on top of whatever they may be able to put together on offense. Jeremy Curley, I think I heard a stat recently that he was the leading receiver for his team the last 3 years in a row. So whatever team he was on, he was the leading receiver. So while he's not the big physical guy you're hoping for out of a wide receiver one, he could at least be the guy that gets you 10 points.
Wow. I don't know if I don't have a breaking news button or anything, but I had to look up Jeremy Curley. I was like, wait, I thought he was on the street. I didn't even know he was on a team.
Yeah. Jets. Yep. On the Jets.
Wow. Okay. I guess that's interesting. I feel like I'm going to vomit, but I see where you're going with that.
Doesn't make you feel, makes you feel a little dirty after saying it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I can add another wide receiver here.
Okay, go for it.
Because it looks like, the rookie for Cincinnati Bengals, man, his name just
John
left
Ross.
My head just now.
John Ross.
He's going to miss at least a couple weeks. So Tyler Boyd, who has already proven himself to be a valuable asset when guys like A.J. Green are down, and someone who A.J. Green can rely on. Week one, Baltimore defense, pretty tough typically. But if they put their focuses on AJ Green, who's 100% healthy, as far as we know, and Tyler Boyd to me could be the stream of the week position, just because everyone's dismissed him and thought about John Ross. For me, Tyler Boyd is a great streamer if you need him. If you have a Devontae Parker, if you have a Landry, you need to put Tyler Boyd in. I'm pretty sure he's available in most leagues because I've drafted. I told you I wouldn't say the number earlier, but I've drafted in 11 leagues and I've not done any best ball. He has not been available, or he has been available in all of those leagues. So for me, it's a guy in wide receiver.
Very nice. That's a good one to keep in mind as well. So while we're doing pass catchers, let's move on. We can do some tight ends. You guys have any tight ends for those people that kind of waited and then got stuck with Julius Thomas?
hey, I'll start off here. Okay, go for stuck it. With Julius Thomas, first of all. I am just maybe, I don't know, unrealistically high on Julius Thomas this year because, Jay Cutler has been known to target big body receivers in the red zone. And yes, Devontae Parker is getting a ton of praise for that. However, there's another big body in the red zone for Jay Cutler, and that is Julius Thomas. So for me, If he is not drafted in your league, you need to have him. I'm not saying as you're starting, he could turn into that. He could be a number one streamer. I didn't even write this down, but it was just, you know, you set me off, Keith, when I said that. I'm a big believer in Julius Thomas.
I had to get a little more tilt out of you.
I mean, this whole podcast is about tilt, right? But my guy I wrote down, let's get off Julius Thomas for a second, is Charles Clay from Buffalo. He's facing the New York Jets defense. You know, we just got word that Tyrod Taylor's healthy. He's going to play week one. You know, he's got a mess, and so many things have changed for him in the wide receiver realm that I think Charles Clay is going to see a huge benefit and bulk from that. So for me, my week one streamer, if you know, he should be available most of your waiver wires, is Charles Clay from Buffalo against the Jets.
All right, Tim, you have any streamers for the onesie tight end position?
Yeah, got to get those onesies in. You are going to have some pretty fun guys here. Charles Clay, great option again, going against the New York Jets. Kobe Fleener is my guy. He's going to be playing that Willie Snead role right now as the Saints are getting ready to take on the vaunted Minnesota Vikings defense. Tyler, you owe me $1 for saying that. with all things said, you are talking about 100-plus targets that have come available with Willie Snead out. Obviously, that's not in a three-week period, but over the course of the season, there's a lack of total pass catchers there. You have Michael Thomas, you have Ted Ginn Jr., and then who are you going to go to after that? I think it's going to be Kobe Fleener, and could easily see a 10-target week.
Yeah, it's definitely with those departures that you're mentioning there with Cooks out of the picture and Snead. I think that, oh gosh, I'm going to be sick again. But Kobe Fleener could be interesting week one.
I know.
Hey, Kobe Fleener, man, I tell you, I featured him in one of my articles with I believe it was the Fantasy Pros on this one, and you know, it was talking about tight ends who could see an increase value this year. And for me, Kobe Fleener is definitely one of those, just because if you look back, and I'm not saying he is anything to Jimmy Graham. However, Jimmy Graham, with his first full year with Drew Brees, was not impressive whatsoever. Once they got that year under their belt, he got more comfortable with Jimmy Graham, and Jimmy Graham had that tight end one season where everyone was just like, hey, got to have Jimmy Graham. And this, guess what? Second year with Kobe Fleener and Drew Brees, you know, he's lost Brandon Cooks, and I know he's got Michael Thomas there. However, Willie Snead, as mentioned, is going to miss the first few games. He may lean on Kobe Fleener for this, so I think that's a great pick there, Tim. I agree with you on that.
Perfect. Hold so on. Moving into the last of the onesie positions, we're not going to get to kickers because that doesn't matter. But so for defenses, now this is the position above all the others where you should be streaming this position, in my opinion.
Yes.
You need to pick on those teams that have the replacement quarterback in there, or they have to start Bortles at quarterback or anything like that. You want to be picking on those teams. So in my drafts, my goal was Houston Texans, like get the guys playing against Mr. Pick Six himself and Blake Bortles. But if you had somebody else, like you say, you got the Bucks later, you know, your last round of your draft or something, you grab the Dolphins and you're in a spot. Who's the defense that you guys are going to be trying to scoop up week one if they're still available? Tim, who do you got?
Rams. Has to be the Rams. Why are we not taking the Rams?
Yeah.
they have Scott Tolzien behind center. Oh, by the way, their center's also new. They have the ageless wonder of Frank Gore running, dad running, level running back. So we'll see what he can do without his starting center and no Andrew Luck, and we'll see what they do for a number three wide receiver on that team. There's just so much in flux right now. You have to take the Rams.
Yeah, that definitely seems like the obvious choice. Hopefully they're available for you if you're listening to this podcast. Run out and grab the Rams as soon as possible. Nate, is it the Rams or bust for you, or do you got another interesting defense?
You know what, I have another one, and you know, I hate to dog on the New York Jets, but the Buffalo Bills, man, against the Jets. The Jets are just a mess. I mean, they're just going to plant. The Buffalo Bills are going to plant against Blau Pow, you know, week one. And there's really nothing else. But, you know, they're
nothing.
Only hope in Enunwa, who is now down and out for the season. You know, they know they're going to lean on the run game. They have nothing at QB, you know, no disrespect to anybody in the league, but Buffalo to me is the obvious choice. You know, I agree with Tim because that was definitely my second pick in streamers for defense, but Buffalo's got to be, for me, on the top of the list. Week one, and I'll tell you what, there was a league I just drafted before this. It was my final league, 11 leagues that I drafted just before this podcast, and it's ridiculous. And I actually drafted two defenses, something I never do. And I'll tell you what, I drafted Buffalo first because they faced the Jets week one, and then Oakland second because they faced the Jets week two. And I just didn't want anybody to have that the first 2 weeks. And for me, the Jets are just a mess this year. And you know, if you can stream any defense facing the Jets, I would suggest it all year round. That's all I'm doing in all my leagues, streaming defenses.
That's not a bad bit of strategy there that you slipped in too, because if you do have that extra roster spot, it's not a bad idea to take that peak a week down the road, especially as you get into the season and you start to figure out. I mean, it's pretty obvious now the Jets are a dumpster fire, but when you get to those points where you know that there's that team that you can pick on, whether it's the running back against that team, the tight end against that team, whatever it is, it's not a bad idea if you have that extra spot. Just take that peak ahead 1 week or 2 weeks and start stashing those guys so you can use them, especially when you start getting into the bye weeks and stuff. That's a useful bit of information there. So that's all we had planned for the show today. I want to remind everybody that you can get our Fantasy Tilt t-shirts online at dynastyhappyhour.com. We are donating for every shirt sold. We're making a donation to Hilarity for Charity, which supports Alzheimer's research and awareness. So you'll want to make sure you check those out. I want to thank Nate again for coming on. Thanks, Nate, for joining us. You can follow.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
So, yeah, you can find Nate on at Fantasy Pros. He also writes for the Fantasy Footballers and DominateFantasy.com. You can follow him on Twitter at DominateFF. And like I said, you can follow him there. And thanks for coming on. Tim, you can follow him at TimNFL. My name is Keaton. I'm at Keaton Denley. And don't forget to follow the show at DHH Fantasy Tilt. And we will see you guys next week.
This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.